A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
All materials in this film were captured by police, media, or uploaded to the internet. Personal footage and messages were also provided by Shanann's family and friends.
Ella, come here. Hey, guys. My name is Shanann Watts. I live in Frederick, Colorado. Say hi, Cece. Say hi, Bells.
Hi, Bells.
No, you gotta say hi.
Hi.
And we can't forget Dieter. Here comes Dieter.
Videos play on Facebook.
Okay, Daddy's not gonna do it if you keep falling off.
Baba.
When Chris and I got married, we moved out here after visiting, fell in love with the area. It's gorgeous in Colorado. We created a life for ourselves out here. Chris found an amazing job that takes care of him. They respect him, which is huge for any job that you have. And we love it here. I'm making some Italian cookies today. Gotta be careful because Cece's allergic to everything that we love, like pistachio cookies and walnut cookies. But this guy right here, he's gonna do all the dishes.
On a post, Chris grins.
That's me.
I'd rather bake and he can clean.
And I can eat it later.
See?
Their daughter Bella smacks Chris with a cupcake.
Nice.
We'll come back with Cece and Bella later and we'll do the Here We Go Steelers chants because they love it. Say, go Steelers. All right, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Words Appear, a Netflix original documentary. Now, security footage of a front porch captures Shanann getting dropped off at home. Words Appear, August 13th. She enters the front door. In the background, her driver pulls away in a white sedan. Now, newly built suburban subdivisions sprawl across a vast, semi-arid landscape. A screen reads, Nicole Atkinson calling. One missed call, three more notifications. Missed call, two missed calls, three more notifications. Now, a text message from Nicole at 8:55 a.m. reads,
just wanted to see if you were okay.
Young trees line residential streets. At 9:21 a.m.,
let me know how your appointment goes.
At 11:46 a.m.,
I'm very worried about you. I'm coming to your house.
A shaky video shows a suburban neighborhood.
My name's Nicole, and I'm calling because I'm concerned about a friend of mine. I dropped her off at her house at 2 in the morning last night, and I haven't been able to get a hold of her this morning. And I've gone to her house, and her car is there, but she won't answer the door. She won't answer phone calls. She won't answer text messages. They have two little girls, 3 and 4. I mean, there's no movement in the house whatsoever.
What's her name?
Shanann Watts.
Alrighty, we will have an officer come out that way as soon as we can. I would just advise you, you know, to not try to make entry into the house or anything like that.
At Shanann's, a police officer greets Nicole and her partner.
How you guys doing?
Hi.
You're Nicole?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on?
So, my friend, we were out of town for a business trip this weekend.
Right.
And I dropped her off at 2 o'clock this morning. She was very distraught over the weekend, wasn't eating normally or drinking, and we kept trying to force it on her.
The cop approaches the front door.
Shanann, are you home?
He peers through a window into the clean, neat, two-story home. Subtitle, Nicole.
She had a doctor's appointment this morning at 9, and she didn't go to the doctor's appointment.
Okay. No answer on the phone. Husband's on his way.
Yes.
Nicole's partner.
You can't get into the house unless you see signs of...
Yep. I've got to have more unless I get consent from him to go in.
On the back deck...
It could be grandparents came and picked him up. You know, it could be a lot of things. He left her phone. Her phone's dead. How you doing? You seen your neighbors today? No? Okay. Oh, we're just trying to get a hold of her. Like she wasn't feeling too good. They're just concerned.
The cop returns to the driveway where Nicole's on her phone. Nicole.
Is there a key code, Sandy, to open the garage from the outside? What is it? This is her parents.
Shanann's mother, Sandy.
Mike, what's the key code of the garage?
Well, I can't go in, but if they allow you to go in, I have to have the property owner's permission to enter.
Sandy.
What's going on?
Okay. Well, he's the property owner.
But he told me Shanann was at her girlfriend's house.
Who Do we know who that is?
Do we know who?
Her phone number?
She didn't say.
The officer returns to the front door.
Shannon, are you home? Police department, if anyone's inside, make yourself known.
On a dark background, words appear. American Murder, the family next door. Nicole.
Maybe. I'm here. Keep talking.
Yeah.
Keep me on the phone. Okay. Getting out the police's way.
Shanann's husband, Chris, returns home and shakes the cop's hand.
Scott, how you doing?
How's it going?
He enters the garage.
So this is the only vehicle she would have?
Only one that, yeah.
She would drive? Okay.
At the front door.
Can we go in the house?
We can.
I mean, that's up to him. It's his house.
The front door opens.
Nikki, I'm giving you permission to walk into my daughter's house.
Mind if I come in, Chris?
Chris.
Yeah, you can come in.
Chris admits Nicole, her partner, and the officer.
We check in the house for consent. You checked upstairs. She's not there. I just want to make sure she's not passed out somewhere. Is she diabetic?
Chris.
All the rooms. No, if she has low blood sugar, hurt.
Chest cam footage shows the cop checking the bathroom and the bedrooms.
Her parents are out of state?
Across country, North Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's not happening.
Chris paces in the living room. He enters his daughter's bedroom.
All the girls' blankies are gone.
The cop uses his flashlight. Chris.
Their blankie they sleep with, they don't leave anywhere without them.
Good. Nothing else appears to be missing, though. Just stuff you'd take for a quick trip.
Out in the living room, Chris points to a ledge.
Her phone's here.
Nicole touches her forehead. Chris turns the phone on.
Does she work?
Yeah, she works from home.
Oh, from home?
She works for Sister Lifeline.
Chris's eyes are glued to Shanann's phone screen. Nicole's partner.
Say, when that thing turns back on, it's going to start blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me.
It was shut down?
Yeah.
The officer scans the living room. Chris.
So that, 131, 18, 19?
Shanann's phone turns on. A text from Chris reads,
if you take the kids somewhere, please let me know where they are at.
A text from a friend reads,
hey, Mama, are you okay? Please give us a sign.
More messages from Chris.
Can you call me, please? I'm on my way home. Please be there.
What's she do for work?
She works at a direct sales company called Thrive.
Another text reads,
where are you?
This is her purse?
That's her purse. It's her medication. She takes...
In the kitchen.
Her medication's still in here.
Nicole holds her face. Now, Shanann posts a video for World Lupus Day.
Hey, everybody. So I'm going to wait till a couple more people hop on here. And I just want you guys to know a little bit of my story. I was in a place for a long time where I felt very insecure. I was married, went through a really awful divorce, and that relationship really took a lot from me. It took my confidence. It took everything. It literally took everything. But I'm not a quitter. And my goal was to buy a house. My family doesn't come from money. We always worked hard for what we had. And so I worked and worked and worked and worked. And I was 25 years old when I built my first house. And that was the biggest accomplishment I felt I've ever done because I did it by myself. I did it by working my tail off.
In a photo, Shanann's on her front porch.
Then 10 years ago, I went from being super energetic, super happy. I started losing a lot of my hair. I felt like I had the flu all the time. I felt miserable. And then I was diagnosed with lupus, which is an autoimmune disease.
I went through one of the darkest times of my life. And then I met Chris.
And I couldn't have asked God for a better man.
She doesn't ever black out or have seizures or anything like that.
No, I mean, long time ago, it happened. She had a car wreck, and they believe that's what happened. But Emitrex is something she takes for migraine. She took more Emitrex this last month than she ever has before, but that's just because she was in North Carolina with humidity and everything like that. She was there for 6 weeks, and we got back Monday or Tuesday, and then she flew out to Arizona Friday morning, and then she got back last night. About 2 a.m. Like I delayed. She left about 11. She got here at 2.
Okay.
And I went to work this morning about 5:30.
Chris eyes the officer.
What do you do?
I work at oil and gas in America.
What do you do for them?
Operator.
Oh.
The officer scans a darkened bedroom with his flashlight. Chris wanders back into the living room. He holds something on his finger. Nicole.
Her wedding ring's here?
Chris turns it over in his hand.
It was on the nightstand next to her side of the bed.
There was no note or anything by the wedding ring?
No. The officer scans the master bedroom. A Facebook video shows Shanann's bridesmaids helping her into her wedding dress.
I wasn't looking for a boyfriend, and all of a sudden I get a friend request. I said, what the heck? I'll never meet him. He's just a Facebook friend. I have a million of them. But
the thing about Facebook is you eventually hardly meet the person.
At the wedding, they kiss.
When I met Chris, I pushed him away. I gave him an out every single day. He went to my colonoscopy. I tortured him. I rejected him. But he stuck around. And he stuck around because he was the one for me.
They slow dance. Words appear. Frank Ruzek, Shanann's father.
I couldn't ask for a better man for her. He makes her smile and she makes him smile. God bless you both.
Shanann's brother, Frankie.
I just want to say I love you both. You look great together. And she's been looking her whole life for a good guy. I couldn't ask for a better one. Love you guys.
The newlyweds enter the reception hand in hand as guests raise sparklers.
And now we have two kids. We live in Colorado, and he's the best thing that has ever happened to me.
In a video, Chris plays with his kids.
I got you.
Definitely an odd one.
Chris.
I don't know what I should do right now. Should I drive around like the normal route that she would be?
Where does she normally go to?
I mean, just like drive where like she would normally take the kids to school. People that I know that live that, people that live, Kristen lives down that way. I mean, that's the only routes I know she really take.
She go to their house frequently or?
And not much, but.
Chris answers his phone, Nicole's partner.
Neighbor over there said he has a camera that sees out into the street.
At the neighbor's, he pulls up the footage on his television. Chris texts on his phone.
Is this on continually?
Yep.
Recording?
Yep. Well,
it's not. Is it motion or is it? Event. Okay, so it's motion.
Any motion event that happens, I got. But I get cars driving from this street. This is him at 517.
Chris.
Maybe park. I'll be on the side. I'm going to get everything back in. Be easier to lug everything out there, all the tools that I had to bring in.
Chris holds his head. His neighbor scrutinizes the footage.
Because if there is any sort of action out there,
his camera's
up. I would have got it.
Chris.
We had issues the other week when people were coming for stealing stuff out of, like, garages and stuff like that. And I have parked my truck
right here. I had you parked right here.
I can see where someone tried to jimmy with a flathead screwdriver over there.
Yeah, I've got nothing.
Nothing for the rest of the day.
No, that's it.
The television shows an animated graphic of an embryo inside a heart. Chris.
She's pregnant as well, sir.
How far along?
14, 15 weeks.
Chris shifts uneasily. Now Shanann's Facebook post reads, this is how Chris found out. In a photo, she wears a shirt that reads, oops, we did it again. In a video, she wears the shirt as Chris returns home. Entering the room, he freezes.
We did it again. I like that shirt.
Really?
Really.
That's awesome. So pink means?
That's just a test.
I know. It just says the pink is going to be girls.
I don't know. Just a test.
That's awesome.
In the video, Chris leans in and kisses Shanann.
Guess when you want to, it happens.
Guess what, girls? Guess what, ZZ? There's a baby in mommy's belly.
Shanann films her daughters.
Where are your buddy?
It's in mommy's belly, you silly.
She's in my belly.
Boy, Chris wants a boy. I hope it's a boy for him. It'll make him happy. We go for our first ultrasound at 3-ish, 3:15.
She films herself.
And I'm kind of nervous. Because every time you go, you're like, is there one? Is there two? Is there three? Hey, Bella, how many babies do I have in my belly?
Five.
Whoa.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Whoa. That's a lot of babies. I can't tell you guys how much I am blessed.
I was told I couldn't have kids.
That Cece fella? Say Cece?
Chris kisses his youngest daughter, Cece.
But I had two beautiful girls, little baby monsters, as I call them.
She looks shocked.
Say hi.
Cece doesn't stop, literally. Bella's just now getting old enough to know what she's wanting in life. She wants to be Elsa when she grows up.
At a restaurant, Chris is with his young daughters. Cece's on his lap. Back at the neighbor's house.
All right, appreciate your time.
Chris shakes his neighbor's hand.
Hopefully something comes up, dude.
Chris walks out the front door while the cop stays behind.
You just want to go talk to him? I'm going to get his info real quick.
The neighbor faces the cop.
He's not acting right at all.
No.
He's never fidgety. He's never rocking back and forth. And if you look here...
They review the security footage.
He never loads his stuff in and out of the garage, ever.
Right.
He's normally, you can ask them, he's normally quiet, real subdued. He never talks. So the fact that he's over here blabbing his mouth makes me kind of suspicious.
Yeah, but I mean, put yourself in his situation.
Oh, I agree.
You know, anyone's going to be nervous, so you don't know what to do.
At Chris's, cops question him.
Do all your friends pretty much have kids the same age? Mm-hmm. It's hard to...
It's really hard. I mean, I've exhausted every option I know of as far as friends goes. Like, Nikki knew more of them because she's a woman. And that's about as far as we could go, as far as all the friends that we could think of.
Do you want my card or anything?
I'll take it.
Okay. Just call that number so I don't want to answer that phone 24/7.
Okay.
So,
sweet.
And then just leave your contact info and an officer will call you right back.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
I'm just worried sick. I don't know where she's at. This is completely unlike her.
This isn't right. I don't know what to do right now. If they're not safe, that's what's tearing me apart.
The cop's chest cam shows Chris on the driveway. As darkness falls, coach lights on Chris's house come on. Words appear. August 14th. Missing day two.
This is Officer Goodman, Frederick Police Department.
And this is Chris
Bob. We're just trying to get some of your wife and kids' information entered in to put some alerts out there. Bella, do you know her height, weight, hair color, and eyes?
Height would be 42 inches.
Okay.
Weight would be 40 pounds. Hair color would be brown. Eye color would be brown as well.
Okay. Does she have any scars, marks, tattoos?
No.
Okay. And then on Celeste...
She is 37 inches tall, 37 pounds, blonde hair.
Eyes.
Hazel eyes.
Hazel. Okay, and again, no scars, marks, tattoos?
No.
Okay. Does Shannon have any scars, marks, or tattoos?
She has a scar on her forehead that only pops out every once in a while. It's from that car wreck she had a long, long time ago, but no tattoos.
Okay, yeah, well, if you hear something... Obviously, let us know as soon as you can, and if you can think of anything, if anything that might help us.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Now, police officers canvass the neighborhood. They stick missing persons posters on front doors. A resident answers his door.
Hi, Officer Williams with the Frederick Police Department. We were out earlier and left a flyer on your door?
Yes.
Have you seen this lady?
Oh, my gosh. No, I've seen it on Facebook.
Facebook? Okay.
Does she live in the area?
She does. Yep.
I'll be on the lookout.
Anything different over the last, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days? Odd vehicles, odd noises, odd lights?
There was a truck out here yesterday. In fact, that's why I thought you were here yesterday. Maybe someone complained about that I hadn't seen before.
What type of truck?
It was kind of almost a steel gray.
Okay.
Don't ask me, mate.
Okay.
Year. But that was late afternoon. The dad has a great big truck, and it's gray. But this one was smaller.
Okay.
This one was smaller.
A cop enters Chris's house where a reporter is setting up a camera.
Hey, Chris. So we need to have everybody step out of the house.
Okay. Mostly because we don't want the dog to get confused with all the stuff going on.
Correct. So you can leave that there. You can leave your camera there.
Okay. I'll break it up.
Okay.
Yeah,
we just
don't want to mess you guys up at all. Because my scent has, yeah.
Dispatch level 922.
A police dog enters the house.
There's an upstairs, yep. All the bedrooms are upstairs.
Subtitle, canine officer.
You know, maybe I'm just old-fashioned, but this almost seems like this place is a little bit too immaculate to be normal.
It's amazingly clean.
Camera crews arrive.
So you can give me your first and last name.
Chris Watts, W-A-T-T-S.
Do you think she just took off? Do you think?
I mean, right now I don't even want to just, like, throw anything out there. Like, I hope that she's somewhere safe right now and with the kids. But, I mean, because she's just taken off, I don't know. But if somebody has her and they're not safe, like, I want them back now.
Yeah, this might be a tough question, but did you guys get into an argument before she left?
It wasn't like an argument. We had an emotional conversation, but I'll leave it at that. But I just want them back.
Well, police really don't have a lot of information right now. We do know that this neighborhood where Shanann Watts and her two little girls live is the last place that anyone saw the three missing people.
On his front lawn, Chris is on his phone. An aerial view shows the new sprawling subdivisions. Now, in a small interrogation room with a table, a detective enters. Chris follows him in. An officer holds the door. Detective.
Do you want this shut?
Probably. You know. Yeah. Do you have a preference?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, let's do this.
The detective sits next to Chris with his arms crossed.
So I know it's hard to talk about. You mentioned that there was a hard conversation the two of you had about your marriage. Can you really get into that conversation with me? I talked to her about how I was feeling.
About how I felt like.
I felt like.
What's been going on with us for the last 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Because she was in North Carolina, and I was down there just the last week.
But just
being apart and just like.
And just like.
Figuring out who
people are.
It's like the best, honestly, like the best way for people to really find out who they are is to spend time apart. We could feel like it wasn't there, that spark. I know it's kind of cliche, but that spark wasn't there anymore.
And that's why I got so emotional right there.
Okay. Emotional for you too?
Oh yeah, I was bawling my eyes out.
Looking back on that conversation, can you connect the dots between both of you being upset and crying? And here we are, and now she and the kids are gone.
I think about, like, did I cause this? Like, did I make her feel like she needed to leave? Maybe she sat there and thought about it, like, do I really need to stay here right now? Like, if he doesn't love me, maybe I should just go.
Words appear. 7 weeks earlier, an online photo gallery is titled Trip to NC 2018 Begins. A video shows Chris's daughters in an airport.
Can I go see the airplane?
Bella, Cece, my dad, and I are flying to North Carolina for 6 weeks. We're going to go spend time with our families and friends and everything else.
On the plane, Bella closes the window.
And Chris will be coming the end of July.
One day Chris can travel that long with us.
We're going up.
Cece munches a lollipop. Words appear. North Carolina. An aerial view shows the airport and runway. In a video, Bella and Cece run through an airport.
Who's here? Hi. Hi, Nana. Careful. Oh, my goodness.
The girls maul their grandmother. In a video, they splash through a puddle together. Words appear. Sandy Ruzek, Shanann's mother. Bella and Cece sit on Sandy's lap.
Happy birthday, dear Nana.
And Onyx.
Happy birthday to you.
They blow out the candles.
All right.
Wow.
Hi there.
Hello.
Are you Nicole?
I'm Mr.
Hi. Hi. Agent Greg Zentner with Colorado Bureau of Investigation.
Okay.
So I understand you and Shanann are pretty good friends.
Yeah,
correct.
We hang out a lot. We have kids the same age.
Did Shanann ever say anything to you about their relationship?
I think it was the second or third week she was in North Carolina. She got in a fight with Chris's mom because she went to Chris's mom's house to visit. And the grandma, I think her name's Cindy. Cindy bought ice cream that has everything Cece's allergic to in it. So Shanann asked Cindy, please do not give this to Cece. She cannot have it.
Shanann's text message reads,
you should call your dad and tell him you did not appreciate your mom putting your daughter at risk today.
Chris responds,
I will call him and tell him what I think about this. It's not fucking cool at all because it is the kids. I will set this right.
Words appear. Voice of Mark Jameson, Chris's best friend.
I knew that Shanann and his mom, Cindy, were fighting again. This was coming from Cindy, that Cece had a food allergy, and Shanann came into the living room and was just yelling at Cindy, telling her she's trying to kill her baby or something like that because of the food allergy. And Cindy claimed she had no idea about it. They had this huge argument, and she ended up kicking Shanann out of the house.
A video shows Cece's third birthday.
So they argued, and Shanann went back to her parents' house. As far as I know, she did not go back and see his parents. But they celebrated Cece's birthday while they were down there, and the parents did not come to the birthday party.
Cece sits between Bella and Shanann. Shanann kisses Cece. A text from Nicole reads,
how was Miss Cece's party?
Shanann writes,
great. In-laws no show. I don't ever want to see them again.
Pictures of Cece flash in the interrogation room.
There was an incident where she had some ice cream that Cece couldn't have. That kind of drove Shanann to where, like, all right, they can't come over ever again if you're going to have this in this house. And that kind of, that's why that happened. It's all hurt. I was like, you know, I wanted my parents to see their grandbabies.
Oh, silly monkeys stepping on the
bed. Growing up and in high school, if you hurt my feelings, I never told you because I didn't like conflict. I really wasn't a big conflict person. I always lived for other people until recently. Now I live for me and for my family, my kids. I live for them.
Did your gut tell you that Shanann and the kids walked out or that they were taken out?
At first, I really thought maybe she was just at somebody's house, just decompressing, going off steam. Yeah. But after today, like with the onslaught of all the cars, I mean, all the police cars, all the news, all the canine units, it's making me lean the other direction about someone took her.
Okay.
But it's just, if someone took her, it would have to have been someone she knew. Because there's no sign of anything like being disturbed, broken. Mm-hmm. And it's freaking me out.
Words appear 5 weeks earlier. Shanann's phone screen is superimposed over an image of their house. The screen reads, calling Chris on FaceTime. A notification reads, unavailable. Now, in a video, Chris does push-ups. A text message to Shanann reads,
I didn't see these FaceTimes, and I'm sorry I missed those calls. I'm very, very, very sorry. The FaceTime went through on my work phone.
A video shows Bella. Shanann's response is,
forget not getting my calls. You fucking call your kids when you wake up. You have not called me one time since we've been here on your own.
The line, you have not called one time since we've been here, is highlighted. Chris writes,
I know, and I will FaceTime B and C as soon as I wake up from now on. I am extremely sorry. I feel like a jackass. Please be okay.
Shanann writes,
you'd think you missed us, but guess not.
I do miss you guys. I miss you tons.
Words appear. Voice of Nicole Atkinson, Shanann's friend.
She texted me and said things were bad and that she didn't know what she did or what was going on with Chris, and she thought that it was his parents, and the only other time he's ever acted like this in the marriage was right after they got married.
At their wedding.
I will love you.
I will love you.
And stand by you.
And stand by you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
And it was because his parents didn't go to their wedding.
So like, his parents not like her?
No, they do not like her. Yeah, they do not like her. His parents do not.
Bruce, you may kiss your wife.
Do you know the reason for that?
She can be bossy. Yeah, but in a good way. I mean, it's not like I teased her because I'm like, you're so bossy, but it's, she's trying to like push you to do good things and like motivate you. It's not like a bitchy bossy.
Mom just never thought she was good enough.
So then what was the book at the wedding about?
It was just my mom and pretty much my sister just didn't like her.
Oh,
They just thought that Shanann had taken me away from them and moved me out in Colorado.
I'm definitely the dominant one in the relationship. He's very sweet. He's very calm. I'm the high-strung one in the relationship.
Shanann posts a video.
Santa's here, but the kids are freaking out.
She opens the front door. Chris wears a Santa suit.
Hey, Santa, where's your phone?
In the garage.
I wanted it.
Oh.
I always say I have more patience for children than I do adults, and I guess that goes for my husband. He's such a great guy to put up with me over the years. Sit down, Santa. Have a seat. I'll try to get the kids.
Chris sinks into an armchair.
Ho, ho, ho.
You're Santa?
Yes.
Where's the phone?
On top of your car in the garage.
I needed it for pictures. Hold on. I gotta get the phone. This is hard as one parent. I gotta get the phone so I can get pictures. Hold, please. My husband's a genius. Doesn't listen.
Is there anyone that you think that maybe your wife got close with?
Chris.
If she did, it was very, like, secret then if that was the case, because I had no inkling at all. No. It wasn't even a suspicion.
Okay. Not one guy.
Or girl. No. If that was the case, I mean, I didn't have one suspicion about it. Like, if it happened, it wasn't even, like, I wasn't aware.
Now let's talk about you.
Okay.
I see pictures of you from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I see you standing before me now. Okay.
Okay.
You've gotten pretty fit.
Yeah.
Okay. You can imagine when guys start cheating or want to cheat, that's what happens.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I did not cheat on my wife. I went from 245 pounds to
about 245?
245 pounds.
And that's great, man.
Thank you. And I'm 185, 180 right now.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to imagine that maybe there was a girl that inspired that.
No. I have never cheated on my wife.
Okay. You know that we have to get to the bottom of this. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you take a polygraph?
Sure.
Footage shows Chris giving a presentation.
My name is Chris Watkins. I'm doing my speech on our relationship deterioration and repair. You have to ask yourself three questions when you're in a relationship. Do I have a desire to keep this relationship going? Do I have a moral obligation to stay in this relationship? Or is it a necessity for me to stay in this relationship? Or sometimes a necessity could be children. Sometimes when you have children and your relationship starts to deteriorate, a child could help repair it. When somebody is not faithful to their partner, the partners realize that the relationship cannot be sustained. Gradual would be if you met somebody at work or a new friendship has occurred and you, as it goes on, you see that hey, maybe this relationship has more potential.
Words appear. Voice of Luke Eppel.
Anadarko, this is Luke.
Hi, Luke. This is Agent Lee calling from the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Are you Chris's supervisor?
Yeah, I'm his direct supervisor, yeah.
Do you have any idea if, like, he has, like, a girlfriend or if he thought his wife had a boyfriend or anything like that?
He never indicated or said anything to me that would, that made me think that. He never came out and said one way for him or his wife.
Sure. Okay. Can you explain to me Monday morning, where would he go to his job site?
He was out on what's called the Survey Ranch.
Survey, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have several wells out there, and him and a few of my other guys were out there pretty much all day with him.
Do you have any concerns about him?
I don't, other than what he's going through right now.
In the interrogation room, Chris hangs his head. Words appear, August 15th. Missing day 3. In the interrogation room, Agent Lee greets Chris as he enters.
I'm going to have a seat right here, Chris.
Sit on this?
Yep, I know. I'll explain what that is here in a little bit, but you don't have to worry. It's not on or anything right now. It's not going to buzz you or anything.
I've never done this.
Agent Lee.
A lot of people haven't had polygraphs before. It's not like a normal thing that people go through. Okay, so we're going to first start by going over from the beginning and like telling someone, maybe you know a friend that you hadn't talked to you since any of this has happened, and you're basically come to relay all of the details of exactly what happened.
So like, I woke her up after I got ready and everything, and then we had talks about like the selling in the house and about separation.
Did she accuse you of anything?
I mean, being a woman, I mean, she's like, is there somebody else? I'm like, no, there's nobody else. I mean, this is me talking to you about this. Isn't it like somebody came into my life and took me from you? This is, you know, me talking to you.
Okay, so I want you to have confidence in the fact that you had nothing to do with this disappearance. Like, we're going to find that out today. And obviously, I mean, I hope that, you know, if you did have something to do with their disappearance, it would be really stupid for you to come in and take a polygraph today.
Exactly.
Right? Like, it would be really dumb. Like, you should not be here right now sitting in this chair if you had anything to do with Shanann and the little girl's disappearance. Okay?
In a residential neighborhood, a police officer waves down a motorist.
We're just handing out flyers on this missing person.
Okay.
If you see them, know them, or if you have cameras on your house that might have seen something.
That's a mess.
It is.
Do they think she's in the area?
We don't know. I got nothing for you on that one, so.
Flyer with the missing lady and her kiddos. You know her?
There's a phone number down there in the bottom if you just want to give us a call if you find out anything, okay?
Police are canvassing a small town with a big mystery.
The disappearance of a pregnant Frederick woman and her two children has captured the nation's attention.
This is a very visible effort on the part of Frederick police to make sure the word is out about Shanann. Obviously, they said, we want to leave no stone unturned. We don't want to rule anything out. Neighbors I talked to say this is scary. They want some answers, but right now, all we have are a lot of questions.
I'm just concerned, and Shanann, if you're hearing this or you're out there, please, please let somebody know you're okay.
The coolest thing about this is right now, there's only one person in this room that knows what the truth is. And in about 5 minutes, there's going to be two of us. So that's the coolest part, okay? And then I can go share that with them out there, okay?
Yeah.
Chris avoids eye contact.
The test is about to begin. Please remain still. Regarding Shanann's disappearance, do you intend to answer all of the questions truthfully?
Yes.
Is your first name Christopher?
Yes.
His forearm rests on the table by a laptop.
Did you physically cause Shanann's disappearance?
No.
Are you lying about the last time you saw Shanann?
No.
I really need your breathing to be normal.
Okay.
You are like all
sorry.
Over the place. So.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Like sometimes I feel like I'm not breathing enough and I'm like, I don't want to do that. So.
Yeah. Before 2018, did you ever say anything out of anger to a loved one?
Yes. No.
Do you know where Shanann is now?
No.
Did you physically cause Shanann's disappearance?
No.
Chris remains still.
Are you lying about the last time you saw Shanann?
No.
Wires connect to an electrode wrapped around his index finger.
All right, how'd you feel? Same as all of it?
I think it was the same to everything.
For ya.
Agent Lee disconnects the cables.
It's kind of hard to relax.
No, I get it.
Now, in a video, Bella and Cece have water guns.
I'm in North Carolina. Those of you that are watching, go get Uncle Frankie. Go get Uncle Frankie. Go get him.
Chris.
And the kids were in North Carolina to see my family and obviously her family and just kind of like, because they haven't seen the kids in a while. And I was here just going to work and working out and just keeping the house up.
Can I see Cece?
Cece, let
me see the frog.
A text from Shanann.
I realized this trip what's missing in our relationship. It's only one-way emotions and feelings. I can't come back like this. I need you to meet me halfway.
Chris writes,
you won't come back like this, I promise. I love you so much, beautiful.
In a photo, Chris lifts weights. Shanann writes,
I love you too. It's not just about last night. I kept looking at my phone all night and no response from you. Like, seriously, we've been together 8 years and have 2.5 kids together.
In a video, Bella and Cece shoot water guns.
She's not getting her. She's like, you grow up, Parker and me.
My daddy is a hero. He helps me grow up strong. He treats me but he ties my shoes.
My flight was July 31st, and I flew out there for a week so I could fly back with them.
Chris's text reads,
on the plane. Love you, boo.
Shanann responds,
let me know when you are coming down escalator so I can record girls.
In the airport, Chris is greeted by his daughters. Kneeling, Chris wraps his arms around Cece and Bella.
Hey! Airplane! Yeah. I know. I did.
Shanann records the reunion. Now, a video shows them at Myrtle Beach.
Hey, everybody. So this is the girls' first time to the beach.
Come here, girls. Get on the sand.
Chris strolls over the sand holding Cece's hand.
You like the sand, Cece? Yeah? You want to go by the lifeguard?
Not yet.
Cece, come here. Bella, come here first. Let's go over here. Let's go find a spot so we can sit.
Cece pours water on Shanann. A text from Shanann to a friend reads,
he kissed me once since he's been here. That was at airport. I kissed him. No grabbing my ass, hug, or anything. I want to cry.
Chris plays in the waves with his daughters. The friend responds,
aw, tell him how you feel.
Shanann writes,
he said nothing's wrong. 5 weeks away from me and not touching me. Just want to cry.
In a beach selfie, Chris and Shanann smile.
Chris, turn her slightly this way. I want to get this river. Turn her slightly this way.
She films Chris as he lifts Bella in the waves.
Good job, me.
Shanann's father, Frank, plays with Cece.
No, Cece, let Papa hold you. All right, Cece.
In another video, Chris walks on the beach with Cece. An online photo gallery reflects a seemingly happy couple with their kids. In a photo, Cece lays in bed. Shanann writes,
kids in bed. I took a night shower. Means I want sex and he knows it. He's over here doing ducking push-up challenge instead of discussing anything or fucking me. I'm over here crying in silence.
The text is superimposed over a video of Chris doing push-ups. She continues,
he's never been like this. 5.5 ducking weeks, no sex. Unless he was getting it somewhere else.
A photo shows a master bedroom with a neatly made bed. Shanann's friend writes,
he has not, girl. Don't think like that.
Now, over a video of water lapping the shoreline at dawn, Shanann's text appears.
He claims there is nothing wrong with us, and this is nothing to do with us. But he's never, ever shut me out like this.
Now, footage shows Agent Lee returning to the interrogation room. Chris sits at the end of the table with his back to the camera, while Lee and the detective take their seats on either side of him. Agent Lee.
So I brought Graham in here because we want to talk to you about the results, okay?
So it is completely clear that you were not honest during the testing, and I think you already know that. You did not pass the polygraph test.
Okay.
Okay. So now we need to talk about what actually happened. I feel like you're probably ready to do that.
I didn't lie to you on that polygraph, I promise. Chris, I'm not stop. Time.
Just stop for a minute. Take a deep breath. I want you to take a deep breath right now.
Graham, the detective, takes a deep breath along with Chris.
There's a reason you feel sick to your stomach. And when people hold stuff inside, it makes you physically ill. And I can just tell on your face, I could tell from the second you walked in that you were wanting to just come clean and just be done with this. And I appreciate that because you knew sitting down in that chair that you weren't going to pass today. And you knew I was going to find out because I told you that. And then you continued to stay knowing that you could, at the end, say, you know what? I just need to get this off my chest. Like, I just need to tell you what happened. We're not here to play games. We're not here to do any of that with you. We just want to know what happened. So can you start from the beginning and tell us what happened?
Everything that I've told you, I did not lie on this polygraph. I don't know how much I could tell you right now. Like, I did not.
It's not even an option right now because you did not pass the polygraph. So I know you were being deceptive. So that's not even an issue right now. The issue right now is what happened to Shanann, Bella, and Celeste. That's the issue right now.
Okay.
So let's talk about that.
In a car, Bella says,
Cece, you're making me more sad because I miss Uncle Frankie. I miss him. Can we go visit Frankie?
Sure, baby. Miss Uncle Frankie? Where's the truck going?
Cece grins.
I'll play.
Wrong way, Bella. Well, that would have been funny. Turn your back so it's easy.
The girls step onto a moving sidewalk with their suitcases. Now, a photo shows them on the plane. Across the aisle, Chris is asleep. Back home in Colorado, Cece and Bella play with the dog, Dieter. The video's posted on Facebook.
I like Dieter all day. I love my dog.
At night, coach lights flank the double garage doors. A photo gallery shows the two girls fast asleep in their own beds. A photo shows Chris and Shanann in a pool kissing. To her friend, Shanann writes,
something changed in the last 5 weeks.
Her friend writes back,
something definitely has, but at least he is saying he wants to fix it.
Shanann writes,
I'm so confused.
Her friend responds,
what is he doing? He's in shower. I just got out. I'm so horny, and he's even talking more on the ride home. I'm sure even if he hates me, sex is sex.
Her friend writes,
stay naked and go for it. Okay, he's getting out. Love you. Pray I get sex tonight. Love you. Get your freak on.
In a photo, Chris has fallen asleep with his glasses on. A text appears.
Well, he rejected me. I just bawled for an hour, still trembling. Just went and woke his sorry ass up and asked him who he's sleeping with. He denied anyone and told me not now. This isn't over lack of communication.
Her friend writes,
WTH is wrong with him.
Shanann replies,
his parents. That's it, his parents. Only thing that happened over this month.
A photo shows a woman with a slender build and tights balancing on one leg in a yoga pose.
Today's date is August 15th, 2018. Interviewing Cole Kessinger.
There's a whole bunch of us working on this, and we will until we resolve it.
He has no idea that a property with you guys. Nobody does.
I think he's a really good guy, and, you know, I'm worried about his wife and kids.
And, you know, we appreciate any insight.
So, I met Chris at work probably around the beginning of June. And he informed me that he did have two daughters. He also told me that he was currently in the process of a separation from his wife. And that's how it started.
Sure, okay. And then did your relationship develop beyond friendship?
Yes.
Chris films Nicole sandboarding.
You're so damn sexy.
Words appear. Nicole Kessinger.
Thank you so much for coming out here with me, Christopher. I'm having a wonderful time. You mean a lot to me. And I'm glad that you're having a blast. I am so out of breath.
She and Chris take a selfie.
One thing I do want to let you guys know is that I found out that she is 15 weeks pregnant. I did not know that. I had to find that out through the media. And it's really concerning me that this woman and her children cannot be located. It's not okay. It scares me. Like, I'm worried for all of them.
In a photo, Chris kisses Nicole's temple.
This is where the rubber meets the road, Chris.
In the interrogation room.
Like, don't let this continue any longer, please.
I'm not trying to make anything continue. Like, I want them back home, like.
But you know they're not coming back home. You know that.
I don't know in the back of my head. I hope they come back home.
But you know they're not.
I hope they come back home.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't figure out why there's two Chrises. So we need to talk about that, okay? About your daughter. I know.
That 5 weeks I was alone, I was with her most of the time. She's a wonderful person. I mean, she knew I was married, yes. And I told her we're going through issues, yes.
And I told her that we're going to get a, you know, at the end, that we're going to be separated. Like, once I figured out what that was, I didn't know what that was going to be. I saw her, took my breath away, and I never thought in a million years that could happen.
I'm not proud of it. Shanae accused me of it. I denied it.
In a photo, Nicole poses for Chris in a bikini.
I didn't hurt her. I cheated on her emotionally. I cheated on her.
Here's the challenge that we have. We knew about Mickey, and so we didn't need to ask you about her in the polygraph. I don't think this girl did anything to hurt anybody. We leave her out of it.
Okay.
Get back to your wife and your daughters.
Okay.
These are your baby girls. And you have not shed one tear.
Don't look into that like I don't love my kids.
Well, tell me,
my
explain
wife.
To me. You're crying with your wife that you're leaving her.
Yeah.
But you don't cry that your two little baby girls.
I'm hoping they're still around somewhere. I'm hoping they're still somewhere.
Yeah, but you
alive.
Don't have them right now. You're
I
not
know.
Reading stories to them at night.
I know.
You're not giving them midnight snacks.
I love those girls to death.
Then show us that. Show us that.
Okay.
Chris, did Shanann do something to them?
No, I don't know.
I'm serious.
I have no clue.
No, you wouldn't know. They didn't leave the house. Did Shanann do something to them, and then did you feel like you had to do something to Shanann?
Chris shakes his head.
Chicks are crazy.
Can I talk to my dad or something?
Absolutely. Come here. Do you want to bring him in here?
No. I just can't talk to my dad. Like, he flew across the country.
Chris, how about this? If we brought your dad in here, would you please tell him what happened?
Can I just go talk to him out there? I've been in here for like 5 or 6 hours, and I'm like...
Absolutely. He deserves an answer.
Agent Lee.
He's your best friend.
Security footage shows Chris's dad in another room. Now he enters Chris's room and rubs his son's back as he takes a seat. Now, Graham.
Hey, Chris, we're going to let you have however much time you need, okay?
Okay, you're going to leave us in here or no? Yes.
Sure.
Words appear. Ronnie Watts, Chris's father. Averting his gaze, Ronnie leans towards Chris.
You going to tell me what's going on or anything, or... I messed up the polygraph. I failed it. You failed it? Yeah, because there's too much emotions. They're not gonna let me go.
They exchange eye contact. Then Ronnie drops his gaze.
Is there any reason, though, why they shouldn't?
They know I had an affair. And then they know. I can't complain about that.
Is there anything else you want to tell me? What's going on or what happened or anything? Anything? What?
When we had that conversation that morning, it was emotional and told her about separation and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Leaning on his hands, Chris lowers his gaze.
I want to protect her.
What?
I want to protect her.
You don't want to protect her?
I don't know what else to say.
Ronnie eyes his son.
Do you know what happened? Sure. Son? She hurt her.
Yeah.
I had to kill her. What now? I have to tell them I hurt her. You hurt her?
So she started hurting the kids.
What? She smothered them?
I choked them.
Did she kill them? Yeah. They were blue.
Both of them. She choked both of them then. I forgot the champagne.
Oh my God. So she killed both Cece and Bella? Choked them to death? You lost it and then choked her or... Mm-hmm. That's just rage. I mean, I hadn't...
Chris shakes his head. Ronnie runs his hand over his face, then takes Chris's hand in his. Now, at night, police officers in uniform enter Chris's house. A chest cam shows the kitchen. Dieter, the dog, skitters around the house.
I am live right now outside the home of Chris Watts and Shannon Watts, and you can see behind me, police are here right now processing the evidence inside the home.
Folks are here to pick up the dog.
I'm going to catch her first.
A tow truck impounds a large Ford pickup truck.
Police have been towing a truck that was parked just a couple of houses down. We didn't know it was connected to the house, but they towed that as well. And they just came out with the family's dog in a cage. Police also went in there with evidence bags.
In Cece's room, an officer bags a pillow. Now, in the interrogation room, Ronnie leans towards Chris.
Just tell them.
What's that?
Come on in.
Okay.
Agent Lee.
You doing okay? You sure?
Lee strokes Chris's shoulder tenderly. Her colleague, Graham, returns, and they both sit facing Chris. Ronnie rubs his forehead. Agent Lee.
You did the hard part. All you have left, will you tell us where they're at?
We can help you get them out of the cold.
They're gone. There's no bringing them back.
Where are they?
The agents study Chris as Ronnie rubs his shoulder supportively. Chris holds his head in his hands.
They're at the first location I went to that day.
Where did you put them out there, Chris? That's really important.
I didn't know what else to do.
I know, but tell me, what did you... I know.
I didn't know what else to do. I was so scared.
I know. Are you sure?
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
We're going to help them get out of there. Chris, I know they're gone, but they're still your babies. And you're still there.
And you don't want
to. You don't want someone else to find them out there. You don't. I promise you.
Give us a second so we can kind of get some things arranged. Do that.
Graham,
Ronnie, do you want to stay in here with him?
The agents stand and leave. Graham squeezes Chris's shoulder on his way past. Left alone, Ronnie caresses Chris's back.
The problem is I don't even know if they believe me or not.
Are they buried in something, or Shannon is? What about the babies? That's what I'm worried about. They're in a freaking oil tank. In an oil tank?
There's no one else to do.
In a remote location, a dirt road leads to a clearing. A fence encloses two large oil tanks within the clearing.
I think we have a picture of, is it Survey 319?
That looks familiar to you. What is that?
It's the VRC Survey 319.
Okay. Whereabouts? Shannon and the girls.
Chris studies the picture.
How old is this picture?
Today.
Today.
Field grass surrounds a bare patch of dirt. Chris.
Shannon, right here.
Agent Lee.
That's for Shannon, okay?
Okay.
And where are the girls at?
They're
They're in here.
Are they in the tanks?
They're it's just a hatch on the top. They're 20-foot tanks.
A photo shows the 8-inch hatch opening.
The sheet found down here?
Mm-hmm.
What's that from?
That was what Chanel was wrapped in.
A bright bedsheet is crumpled amid the scrub.
So you're good with the public knowing that Shanann killed her daughters?
I did not hurt these girls.
Are you okay with the public knowing that Shanann?
Yes, because I did not hurt these girls.
Chris eyes Agent Lee intently. She turns to Graham.
What it looks like is that you found a new life, and the only way to get that new life was to get rid of the old life. And I think that you killed these girls before their mom came home, and then killed Shanann. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up. So either you're this monster, so I just want this young hot girlfriend, so I'm gonna kill everyone and hope it works out, or something. So I think we're very, very close to the truth, but not quite there yet.
Graham scratches his forehead as Chris shakes his head defiantly.
So if you're not that monster.
I'm not a monster. I didn't. Oh, my babies.
Okay.
Words appear. 3 days before the murders. A photo shows Chris with Bella and Cece.
On August 10th, Shanann flew out to Arizona with Nicole. And I had the kids from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Graham interviews Nicole.
How long do you know Shanann?
3 to 4 years, I would say.
So you guys, was there a convention this last weekend?
There was a training in Arizona that some of the top leaders of the company were putting on.
Okay. So you picked her up from her house?
Mm-hmm. She was actually waiting on the front porch.
Oh, she was?
Okay. And then we drove to the airport.
Okay. Do you remember what time you picked her up?
It was around 4:30.
In the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Over an ultrasound image of an embryo, Shanann's texts appear.
I miss and love you so much. I am still in shock. We are having a little boy. I'm so excited and happy. Thank you for letting me hold you this morning. It felt good. Your ladder is on the counter.
Images of Shanann's handwritten letter appear. It begins with, "My dearest Chris." Various passages are highlighted. "I miss holding you. I miss watching you laugh and play with the kids. I missed seeing you. I missed smelling you. I miss. I will be civil and get along with your mom. I will always fight for our marriage and you." Love always, Shanann. In the interrogation room, Chris rests his head on the table. At the town of Frederick Community Center, an officer's chest cam captures the opening of the interrogation room door.
Chris, unstand it for me. I'm going to have you face that wall over there. Just face it.
Chris complies.
Lift up your hands.
Chris raises his straight arms out from his body. The officer wraps a thick leather belt around Chris's waist and fastens the buckle in the middle of his back.
In just the last 10 minutes, we have confirmed that Shanann's husband and the father of her two children, Chris Watts, has confessed.
Officers lead Chris in handcuffs down a corridor. Now, at night, outside Chris and Shanann's house, police vehicles block the driveway.
Neighbors here, some of them are still outside tonight. They're all on edge. They are saddened by this horrific news, if this indeed is the case.
Footage shows a guard instructing Chris.
"Sir, can you step over here for me, please? Face this bar right here. Sir, you got anything on you?"
In a brightly lit institutional corridor, Chris faces the wall as the guard pats him down. Words appear. Day 4. A photo shows the site where Chris buried Shanann. A pylon marks the hole. Now, at a press conference.
"At this point, we have been able to recover a body that we're quite certain is Shanann Watts' body. We have strong reason to believe that we know where the bodies of the children are, and recovery efforts are in process on that."
Fire crews are on site.
"This is absolutely the worst possible outcome that any of us could imagine."
At night, large crowds gather outside Shanann's home with candles.
"Thank you, everyone, for coming out to the candlelight vigil and saying all your prayers. They are greatly appreciated. and keep the prayers coming for our family.
Shanann's father, Frank, addresses the media. A table displays photos of Shanann and her smiling children, Bella and Cece. At the vigil, Sandy holds a candle, and Frank hangs his head as he sits amid a row of chairs. Words appear, 2 days before the murders. A photo shows Shanann on her phone. Her text appears.
Good morning, baby. Are the girls up?
Chris responds.
Good morning. They are watching cartoons in bed.
Have you talked to Bella about if we have a boy?
Not yet.
Later, Chris's text reads.
She said when the baby comes out, she will pretend it's a girl.
OMG, I love her.
Now a photo shows Chris and Nicole on a mountain hiking trail.
You talk about...
In an interrogation room...
Children, and he's got his own kids, and that makes you kind of uncomfortable because you'd like to have your own family. Put that in context for me. Is that a fair statement the way I'm saying it?
Nicole.
I mean, I guess, but that was never anything I, like, said to him, though.
Okay, that's what I want to know. Did you ever say anything to him
never,
about, like...
Never.
Anything about his kids being a problem? Anything about his wife being a problem?
Never. Never. This shocked me just as much as I think it shocked the rest of the world. All of it. Like, he lied so much. Now I go back and think of all this shit, and I'm like, it's lies. I really thought she left. I was like, let her fucking go. You know, she'll come back in a day. She'll be all right. Let her cool down. She'll be here. It'll be okay. You know, like, have me convinced. Like, I think she's just upset. And then.
Nicole holds her head in her hands.
All right. Moving past that, did you meet at your house? Did you guys go to any restaurants? Did you go to establishments?
He came to my house, and this past Saturday, we went to, what's the name of that bar that we used to go to? It's not the same, the Lazy Dog. So he had to get a babysitter that night.
Now Nicole Atkinson, Shanann's friend.
Chris said he went to a Rockies game on Saturday night. They got a babysitter, and then she checked her bank statement, and he went out to dinner, which that's not odd, but the total was $60-some.
You remember where that was?
The Lazy Dog in Westminster. It's like a barn and grill type thing.
So you'd have to work at it to get $65.
Yeah, well, that's what we were talking about, though. So then she gets on the phone with him or whatever. When we come back, she's upset, and she was like, what did he spend that on? And we're like, I don't know. And she looked up the menu, and he said he had salmon and a beer, and she's like, that's only like $30. Where's the other $40? So then she started going through their bank statement to see if there was other any high charges while she was gone.
We went back to my house for a little bit, and then he had to leave.
Do you recall what time he left?
I remember he was, like, gonna be late to be back at 10. I think there's a text message where he starts texting me when he's home at his house. And I remember I texted him back, and I was like, damn, that was quick. He's like, yeah, I even had time to stop at the gas station to get money to pay the babysitter.
He didn't get home until 10:30, which she found that to be odd because it was well after dinner. And she knows when he gets home because their security system tells you when you open the door.
Security footage of a convenience store shows Chris leaving.
A Colorado man charged in the murders of his pregnant wife and two daughters will be back in court today. But in an unsealed affidavit, he says he is not the one who killed his children.
Shanann's brother, Frankie.
I was just hoping he would be man enough today and just be like, you know what, this is what happened.
At Chris's hearing.
There's no doubt in my mind my sister would never, ever, ever hurt her children. She loves her kids. Loved her more than anything in this world.
Frank weeps.
Chris Watts learned that he could get life in prison without the possibility of parole or death. Lots of you have asked about when the death penalty decision will be made. That is not something that's going to happen even in the next few weeks.
A photo shows Shanann with her kids.
There is so much being said online in the dozens of Facebook groups and the tens of thousands of followers of these Facebook groups, these members. Everyone is tearing each piece of interaction between this couple apart.
I just have to wonder if she even wanted Bella and Cece.
Her parent-raising ideas were disturbing.
The one that I would label the narcissist is Shanann.
I think she drove him to lose his shit.
Oh my God, she did not drive him to
he
lose
did.
His
she
shit.
Did.
She don't know what
she
went
did,
on.
Laura,
behind
she did, Laura. She did. She drove him insane.
Come on, why are you victim-blaming?
She was a bitch.
There are people out there
who believe he is innocent.
And those conspiracy theorists are using social media to relentlessly attack Shanann's family.
Shanann's father, Frank Ruzek, says his daughter and his grandchildren have been ridiculed, demeaned, slandered, and mocked in the most vicious ways you can imagine.
Please just stop.
Frank's on television.
Get on with your lives. Leave ours alone.
Words appear. Day before the murders, a video shows Chris lifting Bella. Bella counts.
3, 4, Daddy, 5.
A text from Shanann to a friend appears.
He never fights with me, just goes with flow. He and I know I like things done a certain way, but I never thought about how that may make him feel as a man.
She called him that night when we were at the airport. She's like, will you watch my stuff? I'm gonna go talk to Chris real quick. And she came back and it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes. It's like, are you okay? She's like, no. She's like, I haven't talked to him all day or hardly at all this weekend. And he wants to work out. He started working out while he was on the phone with me. So I just let him go.
In a photo, Shanann smiles while holding her stomach. A text reads,
I did belittle him without realizing it with his parents. Told him he needed to find his balls and protect his family.
Her friend responds,
honey, you're an amazing wife. This isn't your fault. You're defending your family. He knows this. He would kill for you.
Shanann texts Chris,
thank you for taking good care of the kids this weekend so I can learn and work. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
What kind of vegetables do you want with dinner tomorrow?
Broccoli works. Green beans work too.
Okay, I will get them when I go to Costco tomorrow. Anything else you want me to get besides salad and spinach?
That's it. Plane take off yet?
Finally on plane and about to take off. Thank God. Prayers for safe flight. Love you.
A video filmed inside a plane shows it taxiing.
Holy crap. Sorry, I passed out on the couch. That's going to be late.
I dropped her off around 1:45. And then I went home and I didn't talk to her again that night.
The video of Shanann's porch shows her entering the front door. Words appear. 3 months after the murders, November 6, 2018, the Weld County Court. In a conference room, Shanann's parents and brother sit side by side holding hands. Weld County District Attorney Michael Rourke addresses the media.
Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who were not present in the courtroom today, I want to take a minute to summarize the nature of the proceedings on People versus Christopher Watts this afternoon. Mr. Watts entered a plea of guilty to all 9 counts. Those counts include murder in the first degree after deliberation as to Shanann Watts, murder in the first degree as to Bella Watts, murder in the first degree as to Celeste Watts, unlawful termination of a pregnancy as it relates to Nico Watts, and 3 counts of unlawful tampering with a deceased human body. As a result of his plea of guilty, he will not face the death penalty. Sandy said it very, very poignantly to me. He made the choice to take those lives. I do not want to be in a position of making the choice to take his.
Words appear. February 18, 2019. Razor-sharp barbed wire tops a high chain-link fence.
The last thing we talked about was where the girls were, but we never really got to talk about that night.
The video of Shanann returning home replays in slow motion.
She got home like at 2 o'clock. I just had a feeling that she knew, like, what I did Saturday night was the last straw. Going out with somebody and throwing after an account card and just, like, not trying to hide it at all. I felt her get in the bed. She started rubbing her hand on me and we ended up having sex. When I woke up later on in the morning, like, you know, I pretty much, you know, told her, like, you know, I didn't think it was going to work anymore. And she was like, what was last night, you know? And she's like, I knew there was somebody else. I couldn't just say, yes, there is somebody else. But then she said, never going to see them again. Get off me. If I never met Nikki, would I ever have thought our relationship was bad? Probably not.
So when did it turn?
Told her I didn't love her anymore. That's what happened.
What happened? Chris.
She told me to get off her, and then I put my hands around her.
Police footage shows officers searching their bedroom.
I didn't even want to say it. I felt like I had to. I just felt like there was already something in my mind that was implanted that I was going to do it, and I woke up that morning, it was going to happen, and I had no control of it. Why couldn't I just let go?
What was she doing?
She wasn't fighting. Then Bella came in the room.
What'd she say?
Mom.
Mom.
Yeah, she had her little pink blanket with her.
And where was Shanann at that point?
Yeah, she's pretty much on the bed, but she was face down. Put Shanann in that sheet, carried her downstairs, back in my truck out.
So you put Shanann in the truck, and then you put the two girls in the truck?
Sitting in the back with the, like, in that bed sheet.
So Shanann was back there too?
On the floor.
What did they say about Shanann being on the floor?
Mom, you okay?
What'd you tell them?
She'll be fine. When I was driving up there, you know, they were just sitting there, just kind of asleep or kind of just like, you know, holding on to each other, laying in each other's laps.
A dashboard view shows a car driving.
Honestly, like, I try to picture that whole ride, like, it's like 45 minutes to an hour ride out there. And it's just like, couldn't I have, like, saved my girl's life? Couldn't I have done something? Why did I do that? I don't know. I wanted all my life was to be a dad, just to have, you know, kids, and they love me, they, you know, all that, and it just nothing made sense.
So what happened when you got out there?
CC was first. Blanket over her head. Did she struggle at all? I think so.
And then went down to Bella. Tell me what happened there.
Said, what happened to Cece? Every time I pulled my eyes, I started to see her saying, Daddy, no, and that was it. I hear that every day.
An aerial view shows the oil tanks. On November 18, 2018, Chris is led into a courtroom. He wears an orange prison jumpsuit and shackles.
After he disposed of their bodies, he made several phone calls. One was to the school, telling the school that they were being unenrolled. He contacted a realtor to start discussing the selling of his house, and he texted with his girlfriend about their future. None of this answers the questions of why, however. If he was this happy and wanted a new start, get a divorce. You don't annihilate your family and throw them away like garbage. Why did Nico, Celeste, Bella, and Shanann have to lose their lives in order for him to get what he wanted? Your Honor, Sandy Bruce would like to address the court.
I wanted to say thank you for this moment. We loved you like a son. We trusted you. Your faithful wife trusted you. Your children adored you, and they also trusted you. Your daughter, Bella Marie, sang a song proudly. And I don't know if you got to see it, but it was, Daddy, You're My Hero. I have no idea who gave you the right to take their lives, but I know God and his mighty angels were there at that moment to bring them home to paradise. Thank you, Your Honor.
In his seat, Chris keeps his gaze lowered. Under the table, his leg shakes.
Introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Cindy Watts. I am still struggling to understand how and why this tragedy occurred. This might be hard for some to understand how I can sit here under these circumstances and tell you, although we are heartbroken, although we can't imagine what could have led us to this day, we love you and we forgive you, son.
Mr. Watts, as I indicated when we began, you have the right to make a statement if you choose to. Would you like to make a statement?
No, sir.
This is perhaps the most inhumane and vicious crime that I have handled out of the thousands of cases that I have seen. And anything less than the maximum sentence would depreciate the seriousness of this offense. Deputies, I would respectfully ask that you take this defendant into custody and have him serve the rest of his life in the Department of Corrections.
An officer leads Chris away.
A dramatic showdown in court today as a Colorado man received three life sentences for murdering his pregnant wife and two daughters in a case that shocked the nation.
Frank Ruzek, Shanann's father.
My daughter, even though she was pregnant, is a fighter. I still say he did this while she was sleeping, because he would not look the way he looks right now if she was up.
Photos of Chris's torso and arms show no scars or injuries.
What I can tell you most affirmatively today is the spotlight that he tried to shine on Shanann falsely, incorrectly, and frankly, a flat-out lie has been corrected. The spotlight shines directly where it belongs, on him.
In a prison headshot, Chris glowers. He has short-cropped hair and a dark, thin beard.
Hi, Stacey. My name's Nicole, and I'm calling because I'm concerned about a friend of mine.
Scott, how you doing?
How's it going?
All the girls' blankets are gone.
Her phone's here.
This is her lifeline.
Footage from the responding officer's chest cam shows Chris's attempt and deception. His texts from the morning of the murder appear. Can you call me, please? I'm on my way home. Please be there. Where are you?
No.
Now, Chris is on a television broadcast.
Shanann, Bella, Celeste, if you're out there, just come back. I need to see everybody again. This house is not complete without anybody here.
Flowers, balloons, and stuffed animals line the sidewalk outside their home. Shanann posts a video.
I can say at the end of the day, I've done everything in my heart and my soul that I could do to make my family's life better and to give my family what they deserve.
You guys are so silly. Okay, let's go to school.
Bella and Cece twirl.
Let's go.
Because of my health challenges, because I got so sick, I let him in. He only knew me at that time. He knew me at my worst, and he accepted me. We're not promised tomorrow, you know? We're not promised anything.
Oh my goodness.
But to be able to enjoy our children and every crazy moment.
I love you, girl.
I got the baby a hug.
You wanna give the baby a hug?
It can be super crazy, but I love them.
In a photo, Shanann, Bella, and Cece pose with joyful smiles. Words appear. In America, four women are killed by their current or ex-partner every day. Parents who murder their children and partner are most often men. This crime is virtually always premeditated. With thanks to the Ruzek family. Credits. Audio description by Descriptive Video Works. Directed by Jenny Popplewell. Edited by Simon Barker. Archive producer James R.M. Hunt. Executive producers James Marsh and Jonathan Stadlin. Original music, Nynita Desai. Score performed by London Contemporary Orchestra. Violin, Eloisa Fleur-Tom and Racky Singh. Viola, Clifton Harrison. Cello, Oliver Coates. Copyright 2020, Netflix Worldwide Entertainment LLC. All rights reserved. Knickerbocker Glory.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.